lot of others today. I'm sort of fighting a cold, but I think we'll go through our lesson without any trouble. You can put up with my voice a little more gravelly than normal. We'll be looking over at John chapter 12, if you've got a Bible. If you remember what we've been looking at over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the last teachings of Jesus, the last part of his ministry before he went to the cross. In John chapter 12, as we looked at last week, we have the last public discourse that Jesus had, the last time he appeared in public and was able to teach. The last part of chapter 12, John sort of gives us a little epilogue, a sort of summary of all of Jesus' ministry, and that's what we're going to look at today. It's amazing if you think about chapter 12, we've got from 13 on to 21, and there John goes through the ministry Jesus had with his disciples and going to the cross. But his public ministry actually ends here in chapter 12, and that's what we'll be looking at today. Have you ever wondered why more people don't believe in Jesus or aren't committed to him? I mean, you think about being a Christian. You have harmony with God. You have peace with God. You have the promise of eternal life. We have the abundant life now and now forever. Why are not more people Christians? Have you ever thought about that? Why more people don't believe in Christ? Why more people don't commit their lives to Him? That's one of the messages we'll take a look at in chapter 12. If you look over to the beginning of chapter 12, verse 37, is where we will start our ministry today. Listen to what it said. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in the presence, they still would not believe in Him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says, he blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, that they can never see with their eyes or understand with their hearts, nor turn and be healed by them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. A few weeks back, maybe a couple months back now, I read a book by a man that was an atheist. And in this book, he actually outlines why he did not believe or did not believe now in God, because at one time in his life he did. And one of the things he says, if God wanted everybody to believe on him, why does he not give us some miracles or some evidence so that the evidence is just overwhelming, so that you have to believe on him? And sometimes you think about almost what he did, isn't it? I mean, if you really think about the evidences we have, if you just look at the creation and look at the glory of God, we've looked at that in the past. But if you look at what John says in these verses, it says, these Jews had seen all the miraculous signs or wonders that Jesus did, and yet they did not believe on him. Now, if you look back in John, he outlines some of those miracles. John says, I didn't even record them all. He says, if I'd put them all in there, the book wouldn't have been big enough to hold them all. But he gives us many of the great miracles. He talks about when Jesus fed 5,000 with just a handful of food. He talks about when Jesus walked on the water. Now, maybe all the people may not have been there for that, but they were there for many of the miracles. When he healed a nobleman's son by just telling him to be healed and he was not even present. He healed one that was born blind. And in this example, the Pharisees investigated and talked to the man's mother and father. So what are we going to do with such a great miracle? If you look over to the end of chapter 11, one of the great miracles that John goes through is when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And when he raises Lazarus from the dead, remember Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. And listen to what is said by those that were there. In chapter 11, beginning in verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, they had seen Jesus raise Lazarus, put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is a man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. it seems like almost doesn't matter what Jesus did or what the miraculous signs that he performed were. In 1 Corinthians 10 and also in Hebrews 3, we get the example of Israel when they came out of Egypt. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 10, but both places are very similar. But the idea, if you think about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, they had seen the great power of God. Moses had worked 10 great miracles or the plagues over Egypt before they had come out. Then God brings the people out and they go through the Red Sea with the water on either side, and the water comes back and destroys the Egyptians. Then they get out to the desert or the wilderness, and he provides manna for them. Every day they go out and the manna's on the ground. But the manna's not there on the Sabbath day, on God's day. Could there be any sign that would be more miraculous than that? To go out and get the manna every day, but on the Sabbath day, it's not there. They were given sign after sign after sign. But listen to what it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. For I want you to know, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, for their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. The Hebrew author in chapter 3 goes on to say that even after all these things, they did not believe in God. It was because of their unbelief that they were disobedient. It didn't matter how many great miracles. No group of people that I can think of that would have seen as many great miracles as the Israelites that came out of Egypt. Yet they did not have any belief or faith in God. So when someone says, you know, if God would just give me a sign, if he would just give me that one sign that would, and then I would believe, you kind of wonder, because these people were given great signs and they did not believe. In Luke chapter 16, we have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And in this parable, it's given to us to show us how we're to use our resources while we have the opportunity to, that we're to be a generous people. But the rich man tells Abraham at the end, he says, if you just send somebody back to my brothers and they wouldn't come here, if somebody was to come back from the dead, they'd listen to him. And Abraham says, no, if they won't listen to the prophets that have been given to them, if they won't listen to the word of God, even if someone came back from the dead, they would not listen to them. Really a pre-picture of Jesus himself and the resurrection and how many people know or say they believe in Jesus, but really don't commit their lives to him, don't really live for him. And so as the way that Bible uses the term belief, really don't believe in him. Why? Why do so many people not believe in Jesus? In John chapter 6, Jesus says that the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. In other words, to believe in Jesus takes work. Sometimes that's something we're not very good at. It takes discipline. It even takes sacrifice. And sometimes we're not really willing to commit our lives to something that it may not be just what we want it to be. Look back to John chapter 12. Listen to the reasons that Jesus gave for those who did not believe in him. Verse 42. He's yet at the same time, Even among the leaders, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they'd be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the praise of men more than praise of God. Fear. Now, if you go through the what he just quotes from Isaiah, Isaiah was sent out to the people, and God told Isaiah, I'm going to send you out as one more prophet, but they're not going to listen to you. But he sent Isaiah out anyway. But when Isaiah goes out to the people, they hear the message and they don't respond. And so what happens? They become calloused. And once you hear a message and you don't respond to it, it's easier not to respond to it the next time. And the next time it becomes even easier. A few years back, we visited a lady that had been in the church for many, many years, grown up in the church, and she had quit attending. And so we went by to talk to her and see if we could get her to come back. And she said, you know, when I quit coming, at first it really bothered me. First couple weeks, it really bothered me. But by the third week and the fourth week, it didn't bother me so much. And now, it's been about 2 months, doesn't bother me at all. Our hearts become calloused when we turn away from the Lord. When you turn away from the Lord, you can turn away. You have to choose what you're going to do. But if you do turn away, you're going to become callous so that it becomes very difficult to ever come back. And that's really what Isaiah says. And then Jesus goes down to these men. They did believe, but they didn't respond. Why? Because of fear. Fear of being cast down. They wanted to be accepted by the other people there. And that meant not having Jesus. So often, do we accept the praise of the world, or do we want the acceptance of our friends more than we want God? Are we afraid to be Christians? Over in Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives a great parable of the sower. And listen to what he says about why so many lose the word or lose the idea of belief in their lives. In chapter 4, verse 19, Mark records for us, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." Now you think about what he says. Fear and worry. Worry about what? The things of this world. There are always things to worry about in our lives. There's always things around us that take up our minds and we can think about. The deceitfulness of wealth. The idea, if I just had a little bit more, everything would be okay. I just need a little bit more. A little bit more money, a little bit more of that. I'd be okay. And just the desire for other things. There's so many things around us. Probably more today than any other time. We have more things that we can think about and that we think that we need. And that desire, and when we put our mind about those things, we lose our desire for the Lord. Basically, worry and fear kept these people from the Lord. Now look on down to what Jesus says to us. Look at verse 40. Picking back up at verse 44. "Then Jesus cried out, 'When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness.'" One of the themes throughout the book of John is the theme of light. What do you think about when you think about light? If you remember at the end of last week's sermon, we talked about being sons of the light. Or actually in chapter 36, he says, "Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light." Sons of God by living in the light. What do you think about when you think about light? Here Jesus brings out the point that believing in him means believing in the one he sent. He was God's representative, God the Father's representative. And who better to represent the Father than one who had been with the Father from even before the beginning of time? The one that was at the Father's side could come to this earth and show us what the Father really was like. See, throughout the Old Testament, God had told the people what he was like through his prophets. But when he sent his own son, he could show them from with one that had been with him that Jesus could come. John refers to Jesus as the light. He refers to him as the word. And he refers to him as the life. And all of these have the idea that Jesus brought life and light to men. In chapter 1 and verse 4 of John, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We're to live in that light. We're to be that way, to live in the light. Do you think about yourself as being a spiritual person or a physical person? Well, a lot of times I'm pretty physical. But you think about the things that are really you, the things that give you joy, the things that give you happiness, the things that make you lonely or depressed, they all have to do with our spirit. And if you think about the things that you do the things that are moved from within you. It's what is in within you that it makes you what you are, not your physical being. And when Jesus came to give us light, He came to give us that spiritual light to make you what you can be by walking in that light, to give your life, your spirit, that life that can come to the light of Christ. He came to give you life. You don't really have life without Him. You live in the darkness of this world. That's the picture that's drawn for you in John. You can live in the darkness or you can live in the light. You've got to choose which one you live in. The choice is there. It's given to you. And that's what Jesus came to do, to show us that light. Look up, in John chapter 8, He brings out the idea that living in the life brings real life. But look over to John chapter 3:19. We also look at 3:16, but look over a few verses past. And listen to what John records for us. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may be plain, so it may be seen plainly that what he has done and has been done through God. So there again, you choose what you are. Do you live in the light or do you want to live in the darkness? Do you think of yourself as being a spiritual person or is the physical all that we live for? In Luke chapter 12:15, Jesus says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The things that you have, that's not who you are. It's what you are inside, what your spirit is. That's who you are. And that's what the light that comes from Christ can give you, the true life. And that's how John ends the ministry of Jesus, with bringing out the idea that light and life come from Christ. And that you have a decision. Even after all the miracles he did, many did not believe on him. We can have all the evidences we want, but we have to choose, am I going to believe in Jesus? What am I going to do with Jesus? Am I going to really accept Him? Am I going to commit my life to Him? Am I going to truly live for Him? If I do, He will give me eternal life. But if I don't, I can stay in the darkness. I can stay over here and do these things that I don't want anybody else to know about. Look at how he ends this section. Look at verse 47. When we think about Jesus, do you think of Him as a Savior? Or do you think of Him as your judge? As a person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. What do you think of Jesus? Meek and mild, that Jesus accepts everyone, that I'm okay with Jesus? Well, Jesus does accept everyone. He is meek and mild. That's true. But if you go through what Jesus says, it goes a little bit deeper than that, doesn't it? Because Jesus says, you have to listen to my words. Why? Because they're really not my words at all. They came from the Father. And they are important because they came from God the Father Himself. You don't think I'm going to judge you? I'm not going to judge you. The words that I spoke, they will judge you. Because why? They came from the Father. They are God's words. And through them, we will be judged. We think about coming to Christ, and we think about the love that God has for us. As we look back a few weeks back about the parable of the vineyard, when God had prepared the vineyard with tender loving care, put the best of everything there, and He says, if there's anything more I could have done for it, I would have done it for it. And made the vineyard just perfect for the tenants that lived there. And then He was patient with them.
sent prophet after prophet after prophet to them. He says, if I could have been more patient, I would have been. But there came a time when they had to return to God the things that were God's. There came a time when they had to answer for what they had done. God shows His love. He pours it out. And then He pours it out more. And He's patient with us. But there comes a time where He says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God. We have responsibility to give back to God the things that are His, to obey His commands. And that's the word Jesus uses. We don't always like that word command. Oh, Jesus doesn't command me to do anything. Well, He commands us to obey God's will. And in these verses, He says to obey God's command. And what does that do for us? To obey God's command leads to eternal life. That's what Jesus says. He says, if you obey me, if you believe in me and commit your life to me, then you will have eternal life forever in your relationship with me. That's what He offers. Why do more people not believe in Jesus? It's hard for me to understand that. When the message is out there, when they take a look at the darkness of this world versus the world of light that Jesus offers us, it's hard to understand why more people don't believe in Him. But they don't. But you have the opportunity this morning to believe in Him, to truly commit your life to Him. Because believing in Jesus means a whole lot more than just saying, oh, I believe in Him. It means committing your life to Him, obeying His commands, living as He lived, living for others as Christ did when He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. This morning, as we end this section of John, if you take a look at Jesus' ministry, think about your life. Are you like one of those that saw all the miraculous signs that Jesus did, but because of the worries of this life, or the fear of acceptance, you chose not to believe in Him, chose not to really commit to Him? Or are you one of those that committed to Him, and thus your name is written in the book of life, and you have eternal life with God your Father? Think about your life this morning. If you've not committed to Him, why not? Put Him on in baptism. Have your name written in the book of life. Know that you have eternal life that no one can take from you. Live your life for the Lord. Because in living your life for the Lord, your spirit truly has the light that comes from the true light, that is Jesus Christ Himself. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing. I heard it all.